Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Magic Vibes podcast by me, your host, Kelsey J. Patel, a weekly healing podcast show with tools and techniques from me and my incredible community of wellness experts, including today's guest, Lauren Roxburgh, to bring you a sense of peace, belonging, and honest connection to life and your powerful magic. This is such an incredible episode today, you guys. I am so excited for you to dive in. It's a little bit longer than usual, but everything inside this episode is full of wisdom, full of radiance, full of potential and possibility to get you in this dynamic connection and state of emotional, physical, spiritual connection and well-being with your body, starting with your body. So please make sure to absorb the whole episode so you can really feel and align your life with all of this connection that Lo shares today. Her name is Lauren, but she goes by Lo with all of her close friends. So I hope you enjoy, and please make sure to check out all of her links below. You get a free week when you join for her Align Life Studio, and I can't wait to share today's magic vibes with you. Hello, my dear Lo, my beautiful friend coming to us from New Zealand. I'm so happy to have you on the podcast.
Yay. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
You are just such a love and light in this community. We met years ago. I think, was it when we were doing the Goop events together?
Yes, when we were doing the one-on-one private sessions, the retreat one.
Yes. Okay, that was it. And we've had so many sort of synchronicities and crossovers through different friends over the years already. But you are an incredible human putting out amazing work and content. And we're going to get into all of it today because I'm so excited for you guys to hear her wisdom and just the things that Lo offers to the world in terms of body connection and nourishment and love and awareness. And you've been dubbed the body whisperer by Goop. You are an author and a body alignment expert, and you have this amazing portal for online wellness and online virtual home, if you will. And I know that your main message is all about liberation and empowerment and your pillars of move, nourish, cleanse, and connect. And I just want to break it down for people because you are also like, you were at a time known as like the foam roller queen. And, you know, how did you get into body work? Like, how did you start to do what you're doing? And do you have a story about your why?
Oh, yes. Thank you. That was such a lovely way to be introduced. And I'm so grateful to be here and have a chat with your gorgeous community. And I just love everything that you put out there and just who you are and the presence that you bring to everything is just outstanding. So thank you for having me. And I would love to share the story. I mean, I think, you know, the bottom line for me is always, I guess I've had to get to this realization, but sort of the idea of every obstacle is an opportunity, or, you know, that there is the way to turn our pain into our purpose. And so when I was really young, only 16, my mother was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer of, you know, 5 stages. And we were living in Northern California near Stanford University. And she was only in her late 40s. She was quite young. And, you know, I was young as well. And I would drive her to get her chemo drips at Stanford because that's where she was getting her treatments. And I would ask the doctor, so where does cancer come from? Can you explain it to me? I want to understand it. Maybe I want to become a doctor. And the doctors would say, you know what? It's environmental and genetic, but we really don't know. It's, you know, they didn't say the word mysterious, but they said, we just don't really know. So that really put me on the path of wanting to understand where illness comes from, where, how the body gets to a diseased place. And so I really went on this journey, and I early on, you know, in those younger years, I studied nutrition, and I was an athlete myself, and I was very, you know, physically strong and competitive. And so that kind of led me into doing more of the body, physical body stuff, and then the nutrition. So those were the two ways in for me. And then as I continue to learn and grow and study different modalities, like I studied Pilates and actually Reiki, Thai yoga massage. And then I finally, in my late 20s, discovered a technique called structural integration, which is a form of body work that many people don't really know about. And it's all about the study of fascia and connective tissue and alignment. And when that happened, it really clicked because I realized that, wow, so there's so many things we don't know about the body and the connective tissue, our fascia, which people that don't know what fascia is, it's this amazing kind of scaffolding that wraps around our entire body. Think of it like almost like a full body wetsuit. It lays right underneath your skin, but above the muscle tissue. And it also wraps around our organs and it attaches our joints. And it's responsible for encasing our lymph system and our nerves and even our chi. So our meridians are in our fascia. So when I discovered fascia, it sort of just clicked. Everything came together and I was like, oh my goodness, there's this whole system that, you know, I was seeing people privately doing bodywork sessions with some of the top athletes and celebrities and even surgeons on the planet. And they would all say, well, what can we do at home? They wanted some sort of homework. And so I was always giving them stuff to do on the roller. And then the roller became its own kind of formula and methodology that now people can do their own sort of body work to their own selves and then also strengthen as well. So that's
it's a beautiful life story. And you know, also reminding everyone that so much of the adversity and the pain that we go through in life is often what fuels our purpose and our passion of our why. I think our souls know it before we come here, like, oh, shit's going to get rough. And it's going to be the light that leads you and guides you into how you came to share your passion and love and your light working with the world. And I'm still very, very, even as a dancer, I owned Pure Bar Studios and I did my yoga teacher training and I did my ecstatic dance training. Like I'm a movement person. And yeah. I still feel like there are so many people out there who are personal trainers, who are yoga teachers, who are bar instructors. And this is not to knock anybody, but yeah, you don't get a lot of training about the anatomy and the physicality of the body in a lot of these forms that are great workouts. But, and I, again, of course, there are people who are probably incredibly diligent. I know people who are Pilates instructors that have insane trainings, but a lot of people out there who are teaching don't actually really have a strong awareness of how interconnected the body is. And I've seen a lot of injuries. I've personally had a lot of body stuff. And so I'm fascinated to know from your experience, what have you seen as sort of some of the places, the placeholders in our body? Maybe there's a difference between men and women, but where a lot of stuff gets built up that can become a much bigger issue for people.
Oh, it's so true. And I love that you pointed out the whole thing about how fascia or connective tissue is sort of this, almost this idea and this concept that really hasn't been, I mean, it actually has been since 2010. So we've had about 10 years where, you know, science is finally validating the whole system. But, you know, that's not that many years ago where it's actually becoming more important with, you know, medical studies and, you know, dissections and that type of thing. And, you know, but if people understand how incredible their fascia is, the thing is, our emotions also live in our connective tissue. I like to say trauma lives in the tissue. So if we're not addressing our tissue health and our connective tissue kind of fluidity and flexibility, then what happens is we do become stagnant and congested. And that can lower our vibrational energy, but it can also lower and stagnate our lymph, our circulation, our blood flow, all the things we need, and goes back to the immune system, right? So anytime, and then inflammation starts to occur, and all of those things create that lower vibrational, that more risk for disease or even risk for injury or risk of holding on to that trauma in the body. So any experience we have, depending on our perception and our situation, could, you know, be traumatic. So it's like, do we respond to it and, you know, integrate it and move it through us, or do we grip down, lock it in, hold it in, stuff it down really deep and not kind of move it through us and and realize that it's a part of us and it's actually making us better and stronger and, you know, more evolved, I suppose. So one thing I would say about that is, are there areas in the body? I think one thing I want to share is the way I see it and have seen it over the years is the connective tissue. If you think about it, almost like a dried up sponge, okay? So the tissue becomes hard, thick, brittle, kind of think of like, you know, when you're getting a massage and you have that little knot in your shoulder, right? So that's not the muscle that's knotted up. That's the connective tissue. And what that's doing is it's creating almost like an internal cast or internal plastic in the body that's basically not allowing the fresh blood and oxygenated blood to come through that part of the body. So it's creating a blockage, and also those knots can then push down on the nerves. So if we're not kind of hydrating and bringing more of that fluid liquid back into that dried up brittle sponge, then our connective tissue can become very congested and our joints become compressed. Our organs even start gluing together and then they're not functioning as well. So the areas that I, in my career over the 20 years I spent working on people hands-on, I did find these five areas. And, you know, I wrote the book called The Power Source about it. And essentially the pelvic floor was a huge one. I started seeing that with a lot of the pro athletes as well. And even people that are on camera, like people were holding a lot of stress and tension in the base of their core. And, you know, that correlates so much to a lot of the modalities and the things that you speak about and teach about in the chakras. So the pelvic floor, and then the guts, the belly, and then the diaphragm and the lungs, the heart and shoulders, and then the head, neck, and jaw. So those were, I call them, originally, early on in my career, I called them the five stress containers. So it seemed like those were the areas, generally speaking, like from a pattern perspective, were the ones where I would see the most, like you were saying, blockages and congestion. So again, when we know, we can actually make a difference. And it's quite easy because our connective tissue, our fascia, is super malleable. And it creates change like pretty much instantly, even just doing one roller move or one move on the big squishy ball to like massage your organs. All of a sudden, you can actually have like elimination happening and detoxification. So it's pretty, I think that's why it's resonating with people right now, because it's a direct, it's like one of those things where people want the quick fix. You know, you do feel it pretty immediately when you start working with your tissue, your connective tissue.
That's incredible, Lo, because, you know, honestly, I think there's certain parts of my body that I know, even though I wouldn't admit it consciously, unconsciously, I'm like, I would be terrified to put that little ball on the front part of my hip flexor or whatever it is, because I like actually know I don't feel it day to day. But if you think about somebody going deeply and intensely into a certain part of your body that makes you want to cringe, you probably need to start doing some work there, right?
Yes.
And we all have it. Like, I'm sure even as a body worker, you have it too. It's not like your body is immune to the buildup of these things.
No, I'm telling you, me searches research, and I was one of the tightest jaw clenchers, pelvic floor clenchers, again, from all those years of, you know, being an athlete and All-American swimmer, and then also dealing with stress, seeing my mom be sick and observing her, you know, discomforts and illness. So, I mean, I was a clutcher, man. And I really want, my teacher said, like, you have one of the tightest jaws I've ever seen. And so, I don't know. I thought that was interesting though. Again, it's sort of like we have to go through it if we want to embody it and then teach it as well to be able to give it back. So yeah, I mean, I think doing that, I wouldn't do this work unless I had gone through it myself. Otherwise, I'm just, who am I on a soapbox? Like, I, trust me, I had lower back pain, serious lower back pain in my 20s, like really stressed about money and relationships and like the primal instinct things of family and connection and those kinds of things. So I started seeing that correlation of emotional health and how important it was to realize that that emotional health is also going to free up our tissue and create more of that fluidity and flow in the system.
Yeah. I mean, it's so true. And I'm so curious, because this is, I think, where our work sort of aligns as well, is I believe that, you know, all body parts, I'm not the first person to talk about this and certainly not the person to invent it, but every body part represents an emotional or mental like component, you know, or like an emotional need that's not being met or serviced. And so when I, it's funny that you said the low back. The low back to me is always about money. It's about like fear and safety and relationships. And so when you think of those five areas, and I had neck pain, anybody who's read my book knows that's really how I got into all this stuff, was because my entire neck went out and I couldn't really move. And it was horrifying in my 20s, as you experienced as well. Danced through my whole life, just like fucking with my body and not, you know, thinking of my emotional and mental well-being ever. And I think when I look at the neck, it was, my mom was going through depression and had bipolarity and was in and out of rehab, and it was terrifying. And I went into a control state, and everything for me, especially related to the neck and the jaw area, is about feeling supported and feeling that energy of not just support, but also control. You know, when you can't move your head to see the world, it's, there's that fear frame of, and it's all rooted in control. So can you tell me in those five areas that you see the most? And I want everybody listening to really sit with, you know, feeling into your body as Lo goes through this and see how you feel and the resonance of her words and what she's sharing in those categories. Because I'd love to know what you've seen emotionally and energetically land in each of those areas.
Absolutely. Okay, so if we're going to start, I always start from the pelvic floor to me, because if you can get that to connect and have people have an awareness to it, it gives you a lot more, I mean, it's not even, the word isn't control. It gives you more of the ability to sort of deal with stress as it arises. So let's say you were in a stressful situation. You may not even realize it. It could be, you know, driving in traffic. It could be having a conversation with someone that's really uncomfortable. And you feel a sense of wanting to control and kind of create that contraction. So let's just do a little visualization of the pelvic floor. So essentially, what is the pelvic floor? It's this gorgeous hammock of muscles that kind of weave on top of each other, and they attach the sits bones, the pubic bone, and the tailbone. And if we didn't have a pelvic floor, basically our organs would drop out of us. So I like to call it the base of the core too, or the pelvic core. So it's like the bottom of the core, and it really doesn't get talked about that much in a lot of the movement modalities that are out there right now. And it is a bit of a missing link. So but the thing that we've been taught over the years is to do a Kegel. And a Kegel is only one piece. And that's actually more of the masculine control, the doing and the yang energy. And that's okay, but we actually need to balance the Kegel out with more expansion. So we need to think of the pelvic floor. I always use the visual of when you release your pelvic floor, it's like a flower blossoming or blooming. So we need to actually do the opposite. Just like you would do your bicep muscle, you would contract your bicep to lift up a weight, right? Well, you're going to eccentrically elongate your bicep to get that length. And then that's what's going to give you the true strength. So if we're visualizing that beautiful hammock, very circular set of muscles, everybody, you can close your eyes and just picturing if you were going to, like if you were going to cut your pee off midstream, if you were going to the bathroom, okay? So you're going to do the little squeeze. Try not to use your belly or your tush. Just use that hammock. And it feels a little funny, like, wait, I don't know where that is. And this is very common. But we're turning on a neuromuscular connection and a rewiring a pattern from the brain to the body. And this is incredibly important because it's going to make have an impact on all the rest of the areas that tend to contract and get compressed and get stuck as well and congested. So now we're going to squeeze and hold, and then you're going to slowly let go. And as you let go, visualize that hammock of muscles like a flower blooming or blossoming, and then actually let it go even more. So you're expanding. So that's the difference between contraction and expansion. The yin to the yang, the doing to the being, the masculine to the feminine. So we need both as human beings to exist and thrive in our bodies and in our lives. So what I've found in my, you know, working with bodies and writing and researching is that when we have the capacity to do both, we are able to be more at ease, not only in our bodies, but also in our choices and our relationships and how we show up in the world. So I always use this example, like if you walk into a room, like let's say you're walking into a bar, if you're going to go on a date or something, and you're like, okay, I want to walk in and feel relaxed, but confident and strong at the same time. You can do one of these squeeze. So think of like a rosebud pulling in and upward, and then slowly go ahead and relax and feel the blossoming of the flower. And you'll feel a sense of groundedness, openness, and a lot more like feminine energy flowing through the hips. And so when you walk into the bar or to the room or the restaurant, wherever you're going, you have this sense of grace and people will respond to that. It's like, it's really an energetic thing. When you release that clutch, it's like this white knuckling energy that we've all kind of grown up with, living in a state of fight or flight, living in kind of more of the masculine world of force and making things happen and pushing things through. So what I always like to say that when you can connect to your pelvic floor or your, I like to call it the power source in the body, when we can connect to this area, it's like opening up this superpower of just being able to harness the energy in your body. And then as probably you could speak more on this than I can, but like even by activating and contracting and relaxing that area, we're starting to pump the energy, that Kundalini energy, which is the creative energy through the spine all the way up into our intuition. And so it's this amazing energetic thing as well as this physical thing that's happening. And it is this radiance that's unlocked, this charisma, this connection, this creative energy. And so I just found like when I started working with some of these male athletes, like they could jump higher, they had more flexibility, more grace, more fluidity, they could recover quicker. They had better sex life because they actually had more kind of control in the bedroom. Like they could really like hold on more, if that makes sense.
Wow, yeah. And what is okay, you work with a client, but what is a good way for somebody to maybe have a mini daily practice of, and as you were talking, one of the things that connected for me was, you know, I talk about this all the time, micro breaks equals macro joy. And it's this idea of you can't work 8 hours a day on a computer and like stuff your face with food while you're still in front of technology and then expect yourself to be able to just turn off and get a good night's sleep. You have to... You know what I mean? Like you have to create these micro breaks throughout the day so your body and your mind and your heart and your soul learns and knows how to go between both states. And I think it's exactly what you're talking about is that contraction and that release. And we have this invitation really is what you're giving us today to sort of like physically connect to it and then also think of it as a bigger picture, a more macro life experience of learning how to go into both the masculine and the divine feminine and float between the two, because it's much easier to do that. And then your whole being can flip between states.
Oh, I love that. I know. Isn't that the direction that we're just all sort of energetically intending for the world to get to? It's like the idea of embracing those times of integration. And when it's not only about like being so busy and like, oh, I'm going to do this and do that. It's more like that ebb and flow and to enjoy those, you know, that time when you're not so busy and actually what can you do to kind of enhance that creative energy? So a lot of things I talk about in the book, like one that really pops up is awakening the feminine energy. You know, you can do things like cooking and things that are nurturing, right? Like even doing earthing, like walking in the earth or sitting down on the earth, putting your actual pelvic floor on the earth is a really amazing way to start feeling that connection and kind of bringing the energy, the earth energy into your body and decreasing inflammation. And then of course, doing like the mindfulness, the visualizations from the, when your eyes are closed and connecting to that rosebud pulling up and then the flower expanding. And then also realizing that when we breathe, especially going to like your micro breaks, like I love that concept. Even while you're, let's say you're going to take like, okay, I'm going to go and do a meditation sometime in the morning or midday or in the evening to unwind and to kind of bring us into more of the yin. So you can, before you do your meditation, you can just take a few deep breaths. And as you breathe in, so you're inhaling through your nose, your diaphragm, which is the muscle that, you know, separates the chest cavity from the abdominal cavity. And it's also the muscle that's responsible for how much oxygen we take in, how much CO2 we release, which also is how much we're able to deal with stress and metabolize life and food and all of those good things too. So when we breathe in, our diaphragm pushes down into the organs and the organs drop down into the pelvic floor, and the pelvic floor naturally expands and blossoms. Okay. So just by breathing, this is what the body does naturally. And when we become aware of it, we can enhance it and make it even more, enhanced is the word, like more exaggerated, I guess is the word. So, but just knowing that that's happening. And then as you exhale, your pelvic floor is going to naturally just pull upward, going into that rosebud. And then it's going to press up. The organs are going to push up into the diaphragm muscle, that beautiful big kind of dome shaped muscle, and then up into the lungs to close the lungs and to wring the lungs out. So like just knowing that to me, like when I explain that to clients or when I explain that to people, when I'm doing speaking engagements, like people are just like floored. They're like, I didn't realize that's how the body works. And then when you know that that's how it works, that actually your pelvic floor is incredibly important for breathing. I mean, can we just talk about how much breathing is discussed right now on social media? I'm like, no one's talking about the pelvic floor and breathing. That's such a missing link for me. So it's just like a huge key.
Like how many breaths should one do in that state to just really start to feel this connection that you're talking about?
I mean, I would say if you did it about 10 times, visualizing like the diaphragm as this pump, pumping your organs, which is great for digestion. And also that's what pumps the cerebral spinal fluid through the spinal cord to the brain and feeds the brain nutrients and also helps your brain detoxify and flush the toxins out of the brain. So if you can imagine, it is incredibly important to be able to have those systems be working at their peak capacity. So 10 times of that, I would say. And the best thing you could do is also, like in my book, I talk about this and I have videos inside the Align Life Studio about this, but just sitting on a squishy ball is a really, or even a harder ball is a really great way to feel the kinesthetic connection. It's really like just about having like sit on a ball, sit cross-legged if you can. If it's uncomfortable for your knees or hips, then you can absolutely sit on a chair and sit on a little ball. But have some sort of tactile connection. And then as you're breathing, feel it expand and open, you know, as you're breathing in. And then as you're exhaling, you'll feel it pull. You can actually, and then you can enhance it by just thinking about it a little more. It's that kinesthetic connection. And then you'll be set up that will be happening in a new neuro pathway, if that makes sense. So you're taking that with you into your meditation or into your workout or into a walk or doing some earthing. Then you're like, wow, I didn't even know this part of my body existed. Cause like in our culture, it's either you don't talk about it at all, or it's all about like kind of pornography. I mean, it's starting to become a little more in the middle, but it's like, we just don't talk about this part of our body and we're ashamed of it or whatever. And the reality is it's this amazing part of our body, our energy, our system. So we want to like start bringing awareness and attention and love to it.
Yeah, it's a portal, you know, for everything else to come through. So that's the first one. And that is, you know, and it is the main source, if you will. And I know through your work, that it's the number one that you would want people to start activating and becoming aware of. So now let's go up to the other four of just really, what is that emotional component that you see people experiencing with each of these layers?
Well, okay. So the next one is the gut, right? So it's a lot about sensuality, relationships, connection, even our relationship to food, our gut instincts. You know, there's so many sayings like, I feel butterflies in my stomach. There's so many emotional things that can come up in our gut. But I also think, again, it's how we digest life. It's how we digest emotions, how we digest food, how we digest situations that we walk into. And so what I've seen over the years is that, you know, from a structural biomechanical standpoint, all the hunched over posture has really compressed, again, the diaphragm down into the organs. And then the organs have fascia, connective tissue wrapped around them. And so what happens is the fascia will glue all the organs together. So you're not having this like malleable, like core, you know, like we're not doing enough wringing out. We're not doing enough extension, flexion, extension, like working the body and all those different inversions, you know, different planes of movement. So there's this stagnantness that comes, and then a disconnect starts to happen. So just like the pelvic floor And then also there's a lot of self-loathing that can happen in the belly area because we just like our culture thinks that you're supposed to have a flat stomach all the time. And that's just not the case. Like even it doesn't matter what age you are or what gender you are. Like if you have food in your belly's going to stick out a little bit more. And if you're, you know, you go through different stages of hormones and that's all natural and normal. So I think also though, just having some tools to be able to do some self-massage, you can do it with your hands and some oil. You can also use the squishy ball, which I find very helpful. And I have a lot of content on my studio that if people are looking at ways to do that, it's really amazing. It helps decrease bloating, just moves the energy through, helps us calm our nervous system down, going more into that parasympathetic state. Whenever we work with our fascia or connective tissue, it helps drop us into more of that state, which is more of the feminine energy as well. So, but the gut, you know, and again, it relates to the lower back. A lot of times the lower back stuff can come from that hardness in the gut, like this sort of, not like hardness, like doing crunches hard. It's like hardness in the organs, like a congestion and a thickness. And then I think it disconnects people to their true hunger in life. And so when you start releasing the belly and start kind of bringing it some of that beautiful love, the lower back and the sacrum releases, and then that sensuality becomes enhanced, and then relationships get better, and there's more of that ability or opportunity to like live more of that joie de vivre way of life. It's such a beautiful part of the body, but so many people like self-loathe that part of the body because they have this like system in their minds of what it should look like. And the reality is that, you know, it's so divine what it can do. Like, let's it's just like sacred. Realize the miracle of our organ system. Yeah.
It's true. It's and incredible. I, even in Reiki, there's so much, we don't really, at least I don't in the way that I was taught, we don't do a lot on the back body, meaning there's not a lot of time spent with a person lying on their stomach. It's more with their body facing the sky and the heavens, their front body. And there is so much time that is spent working on the stomach in Reiki. And so much of the stomach energy is where, at least I've experienced and with my students as well, there's this desire for removal, for clearing, because we store so much. And I find a lot, I know most people associate it emotionally with the solar plexus, but I find a lot of anger in the stomach, whether or not it's self-hate or sort of like this almost like repressed anger and energy inside the belly when I work with people.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
Right?
Absolutely. It's like a gripping anger too, like deep in there. Like, yes.
Yep. I mean, think of ulcers and think of, you know, just the different experiences that people have physically that manifest the dis-ease, not at ease, in the body. Yes. And so much of that, as we both know, can be in the stomach. And, you know, especially for women who are working through fertility or pregnancy, you know, a lot of times it's about, we got to clear all of the old so that you can make space to hold the container for new life, you know?
Oh my gosh, that is so beautifully said. Yeah. And even like the psoas muscles, which are the muscles that are behind the organs. And that, I mean, if people have hip flexor tension or tightness, or lower back stuff, the psoas, we call it, I think in the Taoist ancient tradition, they call it the muscle of the soul. And it's sort of, it does store some of the old kind of primordial energy from maybe from our heritage, from our lineage, from our DNA. And so it is incredibly important to work with your psoas and even think about those things as, you know, you want to unwind. And that also creates more of that like movement in the hips side to side and more fluidity through the legs. And actually you can take longer strides when you are more open in your psoas and not so contracted. And as you can imagine, obviously sitting too much can really shorten the psoas and create a lot of imbalances in the pelvis. And I've noticed that with a lot of women that are desiring to have babies too, is like when we get into the psoas and move that energy through, it does, like you said, create that space to bring to enhance the fertility.
Okay. So then what's the next area?
Okay. So then we start bringing it up. And it's funny because, you know, the solar plexus, I know in the chakras, there's different interpretations, but I wasn't putting like a lot of emphasis on that part of it, because for me, it was what I was seeing and feeling in the physical density of the body. So as we move up to, I mean, to me, the solar plexus related more to the diaphragm and, you know, that area of the diaphragm and the lungs. What I would see is like someone would walk in, let's say a client would walk in and they'd be a little bit hunched over and they were, you know, compressing that area, that personal power center. And you would see them feel kind of depressed, or maybe they just didn't know where they were going on their path. Like they were kind of feeling a little bit lost and the weight of the world on their shoulders and not kind of stepping into their authentic self and their authentic power. And so as we started, you know, getting people to unwind that kind of buildup and that tension, the tightness in the diaphragm, the tightness in the ribs and the lungs, then all of a sudden they could like breathe again and feel more upright. And then they were able to like, it's almost like they could, as you take that deep breath, it's that idea of like breath is life or inspiration, respiration, like what takes your breath away. So as they started to be able to breathe deeper, they were able to step into their personal power and maybe feel more connected to their true gift and what, or maybe turn that pain into purpose and realize that's why I'm here. That's what I'm meant to do. So that area to me was still is incredibly important in the evolution as a human, as we are going through this life, is like, once we can find that space in the physical body and stand up straighter and improve the posture, breathe deeper, feel more grounded, less reactive, and able to take that deeper breath to actually replenish our body, but also bring in energy. It really completely transforms people in a way beyond words. Like you just see it. It's this radiance that, you know, that confidence. They don't look defeated anymore when they have this upliftedness in their upper body. And it's like, even though it's very physical and structural, you know, and anatomical, it's also very much about the energy that they bring into the world. And, you know, like that idea of like, when you walk, I always like to say posture influences personality. And it's like, as we start to enhance our posture, then even our personality and our choices and our relationships start to change as well. Cause we literally look different, but we also radiate a different energy or vibrate.
Oh, it's so powerful. I just sat up a little taller in my chair.
That was so yay! Good. I know, and I hope I'm so happy to.
Yeah, you're such a queen. As you guys are listening, I hope you're really, and maybe it's a little bit in each area, but I hope you're really absorbing and connecting to these energetics. Simple awareness is the actual act that fuels your next choices.
That was so beautifully said. I love it.
I love you, though. Okay, last two, and then we'll wrap it up for everybody.
Sure. So, I mean, this one, you know, it's all kind of together. So it's the chest, right, and the shoulders. And the reason why I put those together and kind of the upper back is because, you know, as the front starts to hunch and we start to, you know, close our heart and our chest inward and you know, again, the weight of the world pushes down on us energetically or physically, we're becoming more of that contracted energy. And then it's pushing down into the diaphragm and the organs and the pelvic floor. But so that's just the physicality of it. The back body becomes longer and tighter, this is like a thing that I've studied in the structural integration, the biomechanics is like, you see the back body becomes longer and the front body becomes shorter. And this is in obviously just the physical body, but then you can imagine that the energy and the chi of the heart area becomes less expansive. And so we tend to lose that ability to give and receive love or have heart-to-heart conversations or lead with love or, you know, like this whole idea and concept of actually that our heart is more powerful from an energetic standpoint than even our brain. And it actually has the ability to think for us and that we can do things from our heart and live with more empathy and compassion on the planet. And so as we have the physical compression, we tend to lose the emotional or the energetics of the heart area. So of course, for me, opening the heart for people was like the most important thing, obviously the pelvic floor. So I'm always like, each center is always my favorite one, but we couldn't actually open the heart as much until we released the flower, the pelvic floor, because if that tightness was constantly pulling you forward, then you can't maintain the openness that we open in the heart area. So we do a lot of rolling on the squishy ball of actually like the heart and the solar plexus and the chest area, opening up the collarbones. I have a lot of stuff on the regular roller too. I have one that's like releasing fear and resentment, because a lot of times like emotional energy can live, especially in the armpits, I've found is that resentment energy. And then that can live in like for breast cancer, right? So I saw that with my mom. I witnessed that with my mother, of how she held her resentment in her armpits. And if you think about, like, let's say you were mad at someone for doing something, or, you know, in your mind, they did something to you. So you have sort of that emotional feeling of resentment. Okay. So picture this. So you would like kind of squeeze your arms into your body and you go, you know what I mean? Like energetically or subconsciously. So that's just another form of clutching and a reactive energy of an emotional state. And then of course that would lower the vibration of our, all of our energy, but it would also then force us more into that, more of that like broken heart, closed up off heart. So as we bring in the structural alignment, the openness of, so we create more of the length in the front and the shortness in the back, which builds a beautiful, strong, healthy upper back and, you know, lats, like all those Pilates muscles. So we build the strength there to maintain the openness in the heart. Then everything starts to come into a greater alignment. And again, that fluid is coming through the spinal cord more efficiently. The lymph is moving more efficiently. You're radiating more energy and love, you know, light into the world when your heart is open. It's like, you can literally just think about it once or twice a day and just go, I'm going to send love and light to everyone on the planet. It's really that easy. And I think people just don't realize that we do have that amazing superpower, and it will help shift the collective.
Yeah, of course it will, right? And it's like we owe it to ourselves ultimately, but then it just becomes the natural magic of how we can coexist in the world together.
Yes. And then as we start to, you know, take responsibility for ourself, our body, our physicality, our energy, where we put our energy, you know, that idea of like energy as a currency, we start to take that responsibility, like, you know, that I feel like self-care is like so kind of 2000s whatever. Like now we can start realizing like when we take that shift or we make that shift within, we can create the shift outward. We can have more of a shift on the collective. Mm. And I think that's where we're going, is the idea of collective care. And that like, when you do well, I do well. When I do well, you do well. And like that unity, you know, it's some people I feel like can't connect to that energy of unity yet, but we're getting there and we're going to help.
And you can't get there. Look, the truth is, you can't get there when you're still in your pain story. You can't get there when you don't feel loved, when you don't feel safe in the world. I mean, that's real. And it's a horrible, challenging place, but the more you start to feel better through these little small shifts and changes, the more you can start to see that actually the world does support me, and it is my birthright to be loved and to have radiant health and to, you know, share my joy and my passion in the world. But until those old traumas and that old pain starts to release, you're just still you're trapped.
It's so true. You're right. And so, you know, and that might be what a lot of people are going through right now, I would say, is like feeling like the trauma of whatever's happened in their life, but also what's happened in the world. And so I think even more, if people can start with the physical body, I feel like that's the easiest thing to start turning that love inward. And so the self-care thing is very important, you know, self-love, self-care. It is important to get us to that next level. And it depends on where people are in their journey. And that's a beautiful thing to honor, that you can't really get to that point of the oneness concept if you're feeling really that separation and feeling like that trauma or dis-ease, you know, and that's okay, because that's all part of the process. And that's actually a way to get, like thinking of it as almost the bridge to get to that point, like thinking of any as a way to learn and grow and kind of really kind of go deeper into what is your body trying to tell you? What is your life trying to tell us? Like, I feel like we always have something to learn, even through the shitty things.
Amen. And then bring us what's the last and final.
You got it, babe. Okay, so the last one is throat, neck, jaw, cranium. And, you know, like I said earlier, this one for me, the jaw was, I guess in my lineage, in my DNA, a lot of people have had the grinding of the teeth. And again, in my 20s, when my lower back was killing me, I was grinding my teeth. My dentist was like, you need a mouth guard. You need to wear a mouth guard or you're not going to have any teeth when you're older. Like, so it was really bad. And I could barely even open my mouth all the way. And just this lockdown, again, the kind of white knuckling, grinding my teeth, and without even realizing it, like subconsciously, like just biting down a lot, like especially when I was sleeping. So that has a lot to do with, again, the throat. And as you know, and you can speak to this probably more than I can, but you know, is where we can tend to swallow our emotions. And so like doing a lot of humming and oming, and even like doing the kind of breath where you would inhale through the nose and make a noise to vibrate that energy out of your throat, like that stuck energy of swallowed emotions, will help not only the throat, the thyroid gland, but also the jaw as well. So you can do like beautiful self-massage to the jaw. Scalp massage is like an amazing Ayurvedic treatment that you can do to yourself with like beautiful oils. I mean, I do a scalp massage to myself, not necessarily with oil every day, but pretty much every day. And I feel like it's almost better than a cup of coffee because it just opens up this energy in your head. Then of course we do a lot of rolling to roll out the neck area. And then I have these amazing things called the domes that are spiky and you can lay on it and it's kind of massages your scalp and it releases so much built up tension in the scalp. So, you know, and by releasing all of this buildup, congestion, tension, thickness, density, we are able to feel more connected to our intuition. And again, bring that creative energy up to the brain and to the mind and to be able to make it into a sense of communication through our words or through our offering. And so the more clear we are in our minds through, you know, meditation is a phenomenal thing to clear and empty the trash of the mind, the more we can have the capacity to be able to, you know, give our gift to the world and do it from an intuitive place. And I feel like it really helps people like tune into emotional intelligence when they have a clearer mind, a clearer head. And so as we kind of melt away this tension from, you know, you can do it from yoga, from body work. Obviously, I love my tools because I have a bunch of them that I've created for the system. And so the tools are phenomenal in releasing the stress and calming the nervous system and just creating that space, that sacred space for you to be able to tune in. Kind of almost think of it as when you get on a roller or a body rolling tool, like an opportunity for a moving meditation to feel your sensory system, your sensory organ again.
That's just so beautiful and just gratitude to you for taking charge and creating these simple practices and products that create so much release and healing for people. Because as someone, we both have, but as someone who's had physical pain, I mean, it will grip you and your mental, you know, process, your ability to be present, your ability to feel and move emotions and have a different sense of reactivity when you're feeling in a pain body versus a free, liberated, like open body. Those become two very different emotional states. And I just, you know, from your experience and from mine, I just want to encourage people, you know, to give yourself permission to feel fucking great, to feel incredible. Your body has the potential and the capacity to heal. And I think, you know, growth is a gorgeous thing, especially when we can invite it and not fight it. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, and like when you talk about the mental state and like the sort of that jaw area and opening up to your throat chakra, your third eye, your crown, that actually just fuels creativity. Like that's how you download, that's how you channel, that's how you get your messages of where to go next or who to call when and how to connect here. And life becomes more effortless because you're in a state of flow.
Oh my gosh, it's so true. And, you know, and it's not always easy. And, you know, sometimes you're kind of like, oh, I don't really want to do that. I don't have time for that. I don't feel like doing that. But you literally don't need that much time. It could be 5 minutes, like you said, at the end of the day, so that it sets you up for a really good sleep. That's a phenomenal way to start doing a little bit of it here and there. And you'll notice that those, it's, to me, I feel the same. It's kind of that micro like effort that you have to put into, or that you choose to put into your physical body, will then create more of that vessel to be able to sustain more and kind of maybe deal with more of the stresses that we are constantly dealing with in life and, you know, in the world, to give us a little more of that resilience as well. So because we'll have these tools to help us maintain a level of energy too.
Yeah. My friend, I love you so much. Thank you so much for all of you.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me. It was such a pleasure. You are such a love and a light, and I'm honored.
So tell everybody where they can find you, and we will put it all in the show notes.
Amazing. So if you guys are interested in learning more, please check out my books. And I also just launched my Align Life Studio, which is called, it's just www.alignlifestudio.com. And you can sign up for a free 7-day trial, or you can always head over to Instagram at @LoRoxburgh. And I share lots of great sequences. Yeah, that's pretty much everything.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Give my love to the kids and to your hubs. And I will see you hopefully in real life very soon.
Oh my goodness. I know. Give my love to your hubs too.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you received so much goodness and magic from Lo and all of her incredible wisdom, knowledge, and life experience. I can't wait to keep sharing this podcast and all the magic and vibes with you. So stay tuned as we keep traveling around the world with this podcast, sending you distance Reiki and energy healing from incredible places, lands, humans all across the globe. You're coming with me wherever I go, and I can't wait to keep sharing this journey with you. If you want more listening opportunities, head over to kelseyjpatel.com. If you want to follow my day-to-day vibes, check out my Instagram at kelseyjpatel, or of course the Magic Vibes podcast Instagram at Magic Vibes. And of course, make sure to pick up your very own copy of Burning Bright, Rituals, Reiki, and Self-Care to heal burnout, anxiety, and stress, sold wherever books are sold. You can also check out the audio copy if you want to listen and do some of the practices going along with the vibe of the book. Also check out my new app, the Pure Joy app. You get 1 week for free. So between my app and Lo's incredible class, a couple weeks of magic for free in your life. And I hope you guys have a beautiful, beautiful, expansive week. And I look forward to seeing you in the Magic Vibes again very soon. Take care and be well, my friends.